Good morning, everyone.
I'm Andrew Miller, as you probably know. Sometimes my face is postered up around as the new regional missionary for our presbytery. And of course, many of you know that because we've been attending here and when I'm not traveling elsewhere, and my installation was here. So I should be familiar, but this will give you, today I'm going to give you a little bit of an insight into what my role is and what you could be praying for and all that. So before I get into it, let's get started with prayer. Let's ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, a day of rest and worship. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless this time and that you would bless your church. Lord, we thank you for your church. We thank you that it is a place where we can hear your word, where we can gather together to be a light for the world. Lord, reflecting the light of Christ, where we can worship you in spirit and in truth, where we can be built up in our own discipleship. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless the ministry of this church, that you would make its worship services continue to be rich and deep, and Lord, that you would be building up your church, not just spiritually, but also numerically, that you would be pleased to have many more churches started that are faithful Reformed churches like this one. We ask that you would bless us in this hour. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for that reminder. Too loud? Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, mic becomes a distraction. I can always turn it off. I can project pretty well. So I've got this PowerPoint here. Hopefully everybody can see it. But I know that everybody likes pictures. And so I thought I'd give you guys some pictures. And you all know my family. You're quickly learning that the biggest asset I bring to the church is my wife. She's a great blessing. I'm not going to go through who all the kids are, but we have Ben and Fiona and Audrey and Garrison. The little one is Maggie. And before taking this role, I pastored in Virginia at an OPC church, Bethel Reformed Presbyterian Church in Fredericksburg. And before that, I went to seminary at Westminster Seminary, California. So that's where I met the Bennetts, Shane and Rochelle. We were a block away, I guess, and helped move them in because I think he started a year after me. So we helped move this random new student in and became friends. But this is a photo from my farewell at Bethel in Fredericksburg. So dear church family there, it was hard to move on from that, but happy to be in this role. Rebecca and I have been married for 15 years, and we both grew up in Virginia in PCA churches, although it's kind of interesting that she grew up in the side of the PCA that's just like the OPC. I mean, the church where she grew up, where we were married, is it could change into an OPC church, and if the name would change, I'm not sure what else would change. Whereas I kind of grew up more on the progressive, cross-cultural side of things, so contemporary music, all that. So I did some changing over the years. Here's photos of everybody. I snuck this one in, my wife here and Audrey. So people are saying, what is an RHM? What is a regional home missionary? And I thought I would describe it to you a little bit in a very simple way. It's a pastor who doesn't serve one particular church, but serves the whole presbytery. So a presbytery, of course, is our regional association of churches. So I'll get into a little bit about this presbytery, the Presbytery of Central Pennsylvania, momentarily. But the regional home missionary is a role where I'm going to be helping the presbytery plant churches. And that's the role is going to vary in terms of what that looks like as time goes. But it's a partnership between the presbytery and then the denomination. So, you know, we have our headquarters for the OPC in Willow Grove. near Philadelphia, and there's a denominational committee for church extension and home missions. And so they partner with the presbytery financially.
Just going to turn it off.
Yes, thank you.
Distracted. So one of the great things is that the presbytery isn't on its own to financially support a man in this role, but partners with the denomination. And one of the things I love about the OPC when it comes to missions is that we don't make our missionaries be really good fundraisers, right? I'm here doing this presentation, and I'm not asking you for any money, but that's often how missionaries work. I've been around churches very long. You know, you have a missionary come, and he does these rounds, and he says, this is what the work we're doing. Please help support us. And I'm asking for your prayer support, but the church is already supporting me through the presbytery. And so that's one thing I like about the OPC is we let our pastors, our missionaries, focus on doing what they're called to do, which is preaching and teaching and building people up. So it's not just a beauty pageant, right? My role is supported through local churches in the presbytery like you. This is a new slide that I just added for this, just to give you background. Right now I'm in my beginning of phase two of my work. So the first phase was visiting all of the churches in the presbytery. So there's about 9 churches. So I went with the family, got to know everybody. So that's why you didn't see us very much the last few months after October. And now phase two is going back to all the churches in the presbytery and doing a presentation, describing what my work is, and then preaching. And so I already preached here once, Christmas Eve. Hopefully I'll get invited to do it again this year. I'm doing this presentation. So let's see, I started in Williamsport beginning of the month, and then I was in State College at the OPC. And then last Sunday I was in Mifflinburg at Providence, and then I preached in the evening at Alfred Middletown. So going around getting this presentation, I think March is pretty well booked up as well, going around to the different churches. So by mid-April, I should be done with that stage two of visiting all the churches and preaching. And we'll have to figure out what the next phase will look like, hopefully getting something started, like a Bible study started somewhere or something like that. As I go, feel free to ask any questions. Just raise your hand, I'll call on you. But there are about 9 regional home missionaries. So I've got a display here of the other regional home missionaries in the OPC. And there's about 15 presbyteries, I think, in the OPC. So we're trying to get, the OPC guys are trying to get every presbytery to have a regional home missionary, because it really helps to do church planning to have a guy who can be dedicated to doing this. And I'll explain why in a few more minutes. This is a map that the OPC sends out, and I've got a couple copies here. And so if you want to take one home and pray for our church mission works in the OPC, I've got a couple. I can always get more. And so there's a lot going on in the OPC. Although I was looking at this map and I was thinking, there's kind of a void here. We need to get some more mission works in that area of the Dakotas and Colorado and all that. The Lord is doing things. Now, what is an RHM? Didn't really answer that yet. And I put this together in the summer and said, technically this has a different title, like Long Live the Emperor. And I renamed it the RHM. And then as I was thinking about it, I was like, maybe that's a little too glamorous to describe my work. This is the guy leading the charge. I like to think of the RHM as one who leads the charge in home missions and church planting as the tip of the spear, because it's a reminder that I'm not alone, right? That there's a whole army here. And that you guys are involved, that all the presbytery churches are involved in church planting. It's not just, oh, we paid a guy, he can go do it. It's analogous to the same thing with your pastors and your deacons, right? For example, your deacons.
They are the tip of the spear when it comes to ministry of mercy and helping people. They're not just the only ones who do it. I think we need to remember that sometimes. We think, oh, okay, well, that person needs help. Let's just get one of our deacons to do it. No, the deacons will oversee that work. They'll facilitate that work. They'll teach and enable the congregation to do that in the same way that you don't just say, okay, our pastor, he's the only one going to be doing outreach, right? No, he's leading, he's being a good example, but the whole church is involved. And so the RHM is not just the paid professional who does church planting, but is one of many. And there's that reminder of Genesis that it's not good for us to be alone, right? That we are all on the same team working together, and some of us have that role of leading the charge. But we're all home missionaries, if you think about it, right? We all have the blessing and the privilege of giving a reason for the hope that we have, of shining as lights in a dark world. And so I've got Philippians 2 here that we are children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, that's how we are as Christians. We're shining as lights, reflecting the light of Christ in a dark world. So even though I'm the paid regional home missionary, you should all think of yourselves as home missionaries. You know, if you're a parent, you're doing missions at home, you could say, right? You're teaching your children, the next generation. I preached a sermon in Virginia, Home Missions Begins at Home. And it was on a psalm that talks about teaching our children what God has done, the amazing things that he's done. And again, we should be ready to give a defense for the hope that we have within us. So we're all engaged in this work of home missions. And I like to point out that an RHM is not a miracle worker, but the term I liked was a gospel gasoline pourer. My wife said, I don't know if you want to go with that. It sounds a little violent. But what I mean is this, the presbytery isn't just going to say, all right, Andrew, we want to see a church planted in this city. And then, you know, you have to figure out how to do it. There's going to be some of that where we say, okay, what are some areas that we should target strategically? But really what I'm doing is I'm coming alongside the presbytery and I'm saying, where are you already seeing potential? Where are you already having people that are driving 40 minutes to church, 30 minutes, an hour at church, that would be a good place to think about taking steps to make that a church plant or a Bible study that would turn into a church plant? So I like to say that the RHM is joining the harvest that's already going on in a presbytery, in a region, coming alongside a church like this one and saying, okay, where do you have people traveling from? So one of the things that I've asked all the sessions in the presbytery to do is make a Google map or any kind of map of where your people are and to see, is there a clump where this would be a good potential for a daughter church? You know, we've got all these people in, you know, Dillsburg or whatever the case may be. Can we plant a church there? I say that, you know, the RHM isn't the miracle worker. I can't just create out of nothing, but I'm standing on the shoulders of giants and can help develop. And one of the blessings of having an RHM is that your pastors are already engaged in ministry themselves. And so they don't have so much time to go and develop something somewhere else. And so I'm going to give you an example here in my own life experience. In Richmond, Virginia. So, like I said, for about 10 years, I was a pastor in Virginia, and I became the chairman for home missions for our presbytery. So I was, you know, you don't get paid any extra for this, but I was serving to help plant churches in that area. And we didn't have a regional home missionary at the time because the one that we had retired, and we weren't sure we could support a guy, and so we were still between that, and I got an email from somebody at the OPC forwarding me an email from someone who said, hey, I'm in Richmond, and I'm interested in the OPC. I just want to know, is there anything going on that the OPC is doing? And because I was in Fredericksburg, which is about an hour north of Richmond, one of the closer churches to Richmond, and I was involved in home missions, I got this email and I said, you know what, I actually know this person. I know, I like them. And so, yeah. You know, not everybody you want to do a church plant with, right? Because you don't want just people who say, I can't get along anywhere, right? You want people who say, I'm hungry and thirsty for the word of God, right? I want a faithful place where I can worship and be built up. You don't just want disgruntled people who can't get along with anybody, because you know what's going to happen when they start a church with you. They're going to get disgruntled with you at some point. So anyway, I met with this person, had lunch with them, and I said, you know, there's an OPC church on the other side of Richmond. It's probably a 30-40 minute drive for you, but just go there, worship there, join that, and then we'll put a marker on the OPC website saying, here on the west side of Richmond, we're looking for contacts. So we did that, and he started going to this other church, OPC church. It was really a tiny church, and he was a great help there. And wouldn't you know, we kept getting more emails like that. People saying, hey, I'm on the West End. I saw this marker on the OPC website. I'm just wondering what you guys have going on. So again, I would meet with this person, just find out a little bit about who they are, what they're interested in, say, why don't we go to this OPC church that's 45 minutes away from you? Said, you could also come to Fredericksburg, but that's an hour, and they did once, checked us out. But over time, the group grew, and we got to the point where we said, let's go forward. And that was not the best time to start a church, because it was 2020. And everything was shut down. I said to this guy who had first emailed me, he had been an elder in a PCA church, and I said, can you find us a location? I'll work on getting you guys teachers, right? I'll get OPC pastors to come, OPC elders to come and do Bible studies on a Sunday night or something like that. You just find me the location. And that's really an important thing when you have a church plant, I think, is having a couple families that are able to do some of the legwork, right? They're able to set up chairs, bring hymnals, open the building, coordinate fellowship lunches, right? And even, visit somebody who's sick if you need to, because from afar, there's only so much you can do. And so all that to say, in 2020, the guy couldn't really find a location. And we said, okay, let's just put this on the back burner for a few, for a little while. Well, we kept getting contacts and we put it on the back burner. And we got to the point where we had a new couple that joined and said, oh man, we're so excited about this. We were part of an OPC back in Texas. We want to see this thing go off. And they're realtors. So they know a thing or two about finding a location. And they were just a really gung-ho family. And they said, let's do this. And I said, well, at this point, I'm too occupied with my pastoral duties in Fredericksburg to organize this. But I said, we're having an RHM come on in January of 2021. Is that when Charles started? 2022. And I said, let's start with the Bible study then, because our RHM can come. Now, technically, Richmond is in the next presbytery down, the Southeast Presbytery. So we had a partnership with their regional home missionary in the Southeast and our regional home missionary in the Mid-Atlantic, where they were splitting Sundays. So once this group got off the ground, Charles, our RHM, he would go down two Sundays a month in the evening and do a Bible study. Lacey Andrews from the Southeast, he would come around and do two Sunday nights a month. And then when there's a fifth Sunday, they would get me to come down and do it. And anyway, this is a picture of the group now. They just started at the beginning of this year doing morning services. But the reason I like to point to them is that they're an example of this RHM as a catalyst, as a gospel gasoline pour, in that I had reached the point where I didn't have any more time to invest in this, and so I just handed it off to the RHM, who could, because he didn't have a church that he was serving, he could invest in this, he could develop it, he could pastor these people from afar. So that's one of the ways that I see the role of RHM. Let me just pause there. Any questions so far? I've been going for a while. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, Andrew, would you talk about what a church planter is? As over against RHM or pastor doing what you were doing when you were in
Fredericksburg? Yeah, so the group here, West Creek Presbyterian, they're looking for a church planter right now. So that's the phase that they're at. They've been meeting. They had a Bible study, and then they switched to evening services. And now they have morning and evening, I think, which is a lot. So they need a church planter. And a church planter is someone who is a pastor that we call, and he takes over all those, you know, preaching responsibilities, all that kind of thing. One of the important things to note is that with church plants, we don't just leave them on their own, but we give them overseeing sessions. So, for example, you know, if we were to do something in Dillsburg, let's say, and we would get elders from the closest OPC churches to be on our overseeing session to oversee that work until it became self-sufficient, self-sustaining. And I would serve. The RHM serves on all these sessions. Guess how many sessions Lacey Andrews in the Southeast? I mean, he's got a huge territory, right? He's got from Southern Virginia down to Atlanta. How many sessions do you think Lacey Andrews serves on right now? It's something crazy like seven sessions. And that's a lot of session meetings. But that's a great thing, right? That's a great problem to have because it means there's church plants being formed. Now, the RHM is kind of a pre-church planter church planter, if that makes sense, right? Where I'll be able to come on and act as that church planter from the very beginning stages, even from the stage of just hearing a contact, like I did in Richmond. Meeting with a contact, saying, "Yeah, let's keep praying about this. Let's think about this," and then nurturing that to the place where the home missions committee says, "Yes, let's have a church plant there," and then I'll continue to help it until a place where they can call a church planter. So, good question.
Right. So along the same line, what are sort of the rule of thumb for when a church plant particularizes?
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah. Usually, to me, it's when they have officers, right? So if you can have elders, deacons, I think that's kind of the technical requirement. But you also want to make sure it's self-sustaining. So one of the great things with church planting in the OPC is that the denomination partners with presbyteries. And so let's say we had a daughter church in Dillsburg, right, or a church plant there. Then we would get it to the place where it has however many people, right? Let's say they have 40 people and they have two elders and a deacon, and we're able to do that. That would be a particular church. But before you get there, say there's about 25 people and I'm working with this group, then we would call a church planner. And the great thing with the church planner is that the denomination partner, so they would say, "All right, we're going to give you 4 years of support funding for this church planner." And over, as every year goes by, that amount of funding will decrease because we're hoping that that work becomes more self-sustaining financially. So it's great to not be alone, but to have a partnership. And I think the OPC, you know, I've talked about this even here with some folks, that we really take seriously the unity of the church, right? That it's not just that we have missionary doing this thing here and missionary doing this thing here separate, but we're saying we're working together. You know, we're really partnering with the denomination, we're partnering with other churches in our presbytery, and we're all trying to do the same thing because we're all on the same team. So, yeah, good question. Any other questions so far? I'm talking fast because I've been doing this in an hour and I run out of time in an hour. So if I'm going fast, it's because I know I have a lot to say. West Creek is a great story here about the RHM being a gospel gasoline pourer. And it's a reminder that we all have different roles, right? Some of us water, some of us plant, some of us grow, some of us harvest. And we're all building on the work that other people are doing as well. What does an RHM do? I've been talking about it. There's really no like succinct answer, but I like to say the RHM catches what God drops in his lap. But I didn't make that up. One of the other RHMs told that to the OPC General Assembly last year. I asked another RHM, you know, for advice. What do you do? What drives your success? He said, meet as many people as you can. West Creek is somewhat of an example of just being faithful to develop contacts, right? Just to follow up with people and say, hey, what are you looking for? How's the search going? Have you found a church yet? And there's other examples here in New Orleans. One of our RHMs in Ohio grew up in the New Orleans area. He's always been praying to see more reform works there. And I don't know how, but somebody gave him a contact from New Orleans, and he called this contact, and the contact said, your call is an answer to prayer because I've got a group of, 20 people, and we were just wondering what to do, and we just got together, and we prayed that the Lord would guide us into a faithful Reformed evangelism, and then you call. And so it was a providential answer to prayer, but it's kind of catching what God drops in the lap. There's a work we have in Tampa Bay that I think just particularized, so it may not be on the map here, but that started during COVID because the church there had shut down, wasn't meeting at all, and there was a chaplain in the OPC, and he'd been going to church, and people said, can we just meet in the backyard, outside, and worship together? And he said, okay, let's do this. So they just started worshiping in his backyard, and it eventually became a church plant. So the Lord does great things in all kinds of different and unexpected ways. The Eastern Shore is another example. So this man here is Will Sloan, and he was just ordained in the OPC, but when I met him first, he was a lay preacher in the United Methodist Church. And there were two tiny congregations on the Eastern Shore of Virginia that he was serving. So just to give you, I'm not sure if everybody can see on the TV here, but this is the Eastern Shore, way down here on the other side of the Chesapeake Bay. Fredericksburg, where I serve, is here. Any guesses on how long it takes to drive?
4 hours.
4 hours, exactly. Yeah, it's 4 hours either way. You can go down and up over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel at 13 miles? Or you can go up and down and over. So while the crow flies, it's probably pretty quick, but I can't fly like a crow, so. And again, this was a contact who, we had a guy on the Eastern Shore driving an hour and a half, 2 hours, to our Virginia Beach church. And then, they just started talking and said, hey, we know some other people on the Eastern Shore that love the Bible and want to hear it, and we have now a work on the Eastern Shore. So it's very small. Pray for that work. Every home missionary has a different way of doing things. I'm the new guy, so I'm figuring it out, but I've seen different styles. So I have here two different regions. This is Presbytery of Philadelphia, and their RHM says that he really digs into a church plant when they have it. He becomes the guy, right? The pre-church planter, church planter. He's there leading all the services and so forth. Whereas the guy from Southern California, and he's got a big territory, right? Arizona, Southern California. They have a mission work in Hawaii as well. So I think that's fun travel for him. But he's like, no, I don't want to be the guy. Right, I'm going to delegate that. And so we just had Roth Reason from our presbytery who went to Yuma, I think it is, Yuma, Arizona, to be that pulpit supply at one of those mission works. So you have different RHMs who do it different ways. There's not one size fits all. I'm probably somewhere in the middle of that where I told one group that was thinking, you know, said, I would foresee myself being there twice a month, right, to lead services. And that frees me up to be somewhere else, to try to have, you know, develop more than one mission work at a time. But it'll just depend, right? There's going to be seasons where one work really needs me, another work doesn't so much, that kind of thing. It's a long story about how I became an RHM, but Steve Doe was a great mentor to me. He was the pastor of the Church of Virginia before me, and then I was his intern after seminary, and then he took a job as a regional home missionary for the Mid-Atlantic. And so he lined it up for me to take over the pastorate there in Virginia, he was serving in that role, so I got to watch him. He'd already mentored me in what it meant to be a pastor, and then I got to see him working as a regional home missionary, because he didn't move, he just stayed there in Fredericksburg, and I would help him lead a Bible study here and there so that it wasn't all on him. Well, he got sick in 2018, really sick. He had a botched bypass surgery. And the very first Sunday after he was in the hospital there was supposed to be the very first Bible study in Yorktown, Virginia, of mission work that he had helped get started, or was helping to get started. And I said, don't worry about it, Steve. I'll go Sunday night. We don't have evening service there in Fredericksburg, so I'll go. I'll lead this service. Well, I ended up doing that for 8 months or so, because it took him that long to recover. And I didn't do it every Sunday, but it was, again, partnership with other pastors, right? No one's alone in the OPC. And so that was a really good introduction to me to what it is like to be an RHM. And I just loved going down there. It was really long Sundays, because I would teach Sunday school at 9:30 in Virginia. I would lead the service at 11. Sometimes we would have potlucks, and twice a month we had potluck lunches and then a 2 o'clock service. And then I would drive 2 hours down to Yorktown and lead their 6 o'clock service, try to get a bite to eat before that, then drive home. And so I would leave the house at 9 a.m. and I'd get back at 9 p.m. And yet it was so rewarding, because the people in Yorktown just said, we're so thankful to have you come down and share with us the Word of God. And I told them, like, I feel like I'm not doing anything special. I just show up. And they said, that's what we need, you know. And so anyway, that's one part of the story of how I became an RHM. You can give Shane a hard time about that, because he knows more of the story as well. He was part of the search committee for the RHM. But I want to get into, why is this all so important? And, you know, I've got a picture here of sheep, because it seems to me that when we're talking about church planting, we can't forget Matthew 9, where Jesus is seeing the crowds, and he describes them as sheep without a shepherd who are harassed and helpless. And I think that's the heart that we should have towards those around us who are lost, is saying, you know, we're trying to do church planting because we want the gospel to go out to the lost. We want there to be more gospel outposts, right? I mean, churches like this one, they're gospel outposts where you all are being fed, but then you're going out into your lives as salt and light, and you're reflecting the light of Christ in your own neighborhoods and schools and jobs and whatever the case may be. And we want to see more, the outposts get pushed further and further. I'd have to think about this more, but, you know, you have that whole, like, American military strategy, right? We put our bases farther and farther away to keep pushing the boundaries of our defense. There might be something in that for church planning, but the point is, you know, compassion on the lost. And you know, we often think about church planning in the OPC as, let's just find all the reformed people in an area. Well, that is a part of what we should be doing, but we should also be saying, we're not just interested in reformed people who already are Calvinists, who already believe what we believe. We want to see new converts, right? and people who are in churches that are not faithful coming into a church that's faithful, right? Churches that have departed from the Bible, we want to see them in a faithful place. I often think about this one, Philippians 3. I know scholars will debate who exactly are these enemies of the cross of Christ that Paul's talking about, but it seems to me that this is how we should think about the sober reality of hell and the people around us, that Paul's describing very well. He says, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, with tears walk as enemies of the cross of Christ, the end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And it goes on, but you know, there are enemies of the cross of Christ. And as much as we pray, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? We cry out for justice. We should also just think soberly about the reality that so many people around us are going to suffer eternal torment in hell. You know, we take for granted that there's a faithful church like this one that we can come to, but there are people out there who are in regions where they don't have that, and they're wondering what to do. You know, should I drive 2 hours? Is that something that I can do to find a faithful church? Proverbs 13:12 is a verse that one of those couples in West Creek shared with us, and they're so excited that we were actually starting the Bible study in West Creek. They shared, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. In other words, they're saying, let's not waste any time. You know, that we're excited. This is a tree of life for us to see this church get started. Why do we do church planning? We need the church in a DIY culture, right? Everybody around us is watching HGTV, do it yourself, huge thing, right? That's not how you work on, you know, that's not how we work and grow as Christians, right? You're not sheep that are self-feeding sheep, but you're sheep that are part of a flock that Christ is the great shepherd for. And, you know, one theologian talked about our sanctification as a clockmaker, right? That we're all, God is not put us on a factory where we're all the same, but he's like a clockmaker, like a Swiss clockmaker. So they're all unique. And I suppose you could say that, you know, that's where we come to church. We don't work on ourselves. We're not making ourselves as Christians, but we're part of the church. And we need to have guides and mentors and accountability. And all that is just a taste of why I like to do what I'm doing here in Home Missions. And I like to tell people that one of the reasons I've taken this call is that I've been wearing two hats for so long. I was a pastor of a local church, but I was also wearing the hat of the chairman of Home Missions. And that was a real passion point for me. And I got to trade those two hats for one hat, where I get to keep pastoring, but Home Missions and church planning is my full-time occupation. So I'm thankful to have this role. Let me tell you a little bit about the presbytery, but let me just see real quick, are there any questions so far? Okay. I know I have like 5 minutes, so let's speed through this. I like to call our presbytery a teenager because it was created 13 years ago, split from the Presbytery of Philadelphia in 2010. People keep saying, well, you're not a pastor anymore. Like, wait, I'm still a pastor. That's not how it works. But life looks differently than your local pastor. There's more driving. There's serving on overseeing sessions. There's developing contacts, being an ambassador for the OPC, encouraging other pastors. There's a home missions committee for the presbytery that helps to oversee my role. And so whenever I'm thinking, you know, hey, should I be spending time doing this? I'll run that by them and get their input and their guidance. I report to the presbytery. And, you know, one of the things that I'll be doing is helping churches, you know, who want more help doing evangelism. And so, for example, in Sunday school, when I do this presentation in Danville, they asked if I focus a lot on evangelism. So, you know, we really make evangelism into something that is much bigger and harder than it really has to be, right? What are your interests? You know, I play chess. So one of the things we did in Virginia was our church building hosted chess tournaments because the chess club was a place to play. They were using the library, and our building was even better. And so we had people coming in the door and becoming familiar, and sometimes they would even ask me, hey, you're the pastor here. What are you preaching on tomorrow? Which was a great opportunity. And I've got some interesting stories about that, too, sharing the gospel. But you'll have to ask me about that later. But it's also, you know, do we live at a slow enough pace of life that we can actually stop and have conversations with people? The guy did the HVAC maintenance at the church in Virginia. I just said, you know what, I'm going to sit there and talk to him. And it turns out he just moved to the area, didn't know anybody, and he became a regular in our men's Bible study. Couldn't get him to get plugged into church, but for the last 7 years, he would come to our men's Bible study almost every time. And this was a guy that I just said to myself, you know what, I have a moment, he's got a moment, let me just get to know him a little bit. So evangelism doesn't have to be this big thing, but can just be getting to know people and then steering the conversation towards spiritual things. Go ahead, Shane.
I know you only got a couple minutes, but I'm kind of curious if you want to tell us like what your work has looked like since you've been here.
Yeah.
And what do you like, where are you excited to go?
Yeah. Let me get there.
Okay.
So there's going to be different seasons in the role. Right now, we don't have any mission works, so it's a different season than if we had two or three going, right? I guess that's just how it is when you're planting, watering, growing, right? There's different seasons of the work. And getting to you guys, how you can help is pray, right? Pray for working together with churches. Pray for churches in particular to be willing to give up part of their congregation to daughter a church, because, you know, sometimes it happens where we just get a bunch of random contacts in an area, but other times it happens when a church gets to the point where they're saying, hey, we've outgrown our building and we need to send out some folks in a particular area. And so pray that churches that are like that in our presbytery would be willing to be the seed that goes in the ground and dies, right? Because that's hard on the mother church is losing people. It's hard to be part of a church plan, right? Setting up, you don't have the programs that you might, you don't have the building necessarily. There's some self-denial that's required. Pray that you would, we would go out knowing that we rest on God to bring the growth. And that, you know, we seek to be faithful and leave the results in the Lord's hands. That's how it is with any ministry, right? When you share the gospel, you don't know what the Lord's going to do with it. You just say, I'm going to be faithful. Resting on the Lord to build the house that is the church. Pray for eyes to see what doesn't yet exist. This is that Yorktown group that I helped work with. God can change things in an instant. So here, getting to what Shane was asking, you know, what are things in particular to pray for in our presbytery? This is a map of the presbytery where our churches are, right? We're way down here. I live in Chambersburg. We've got some contacts in Sealands Grove. So I don't know if you can tell there, but that's where the river is. Been driving up that corridor quite a bit to get to these churches. And there's contacts all throughout this area, right between these three churches. And they've had people that have gone all these different churches, but you know, one of the things to wonder is, should we do something closer? Could we have these churches partner to do outreach in that area? You know, what does the future hold? I mentioned Dillsburg, right? That's another potential where I know that there's people there who go to Carlisle, and they've said maybe we should daughter a church, and that would also bring in some people from Calvert. It would kind of be a joint daughter church. So, you know, I don't know if Gettysburg has anybody up that way, but anyway, that's a thought, to do something near Mechanicsburg. you know, down the road, I'd love to revisit Chambersburg, but anyway, I'm there. I'm just getting to know people, so we'll see if I can meet my people in the area. Hollidaysburg has mentioned they're kind of getting to the point where they need to think about daughtering a church. They've already, they daughtered one in Indiana, Pennsylvania, right? That's the place. And then they daughtered the State College one. Still getting used to Pennsylvania names. You guys have Lewisburg and Lewistown and Mifflinburg and Mifflintown. Don't make it easy, but anyway, those are some things to pray for. We just got a website, goodnewscentralpa.org, because yes, we want people to be Reformed Presbyterian, but first and foremost, they need the gospel, right? The good news. We think it's healthy for them to be in a Reformed Presbyterian church, but ultimately we're about the good news. And I know you guys have your own conference here this day, but pray for the missions conference that we're doing in Danville on the 23rd. We're going to be preaching and trying to get people excited about missions. So anyway, any final questions, thoughts, comments? Thankfully, no one's picking up tomatoes. But I appreciate your support, particularly because, you know, we plugged in here so I'm not able to be here as often as I liked for worship, but it's always a joy when I am. And my family, you know, that was one of the questions taking the job is, you've got small kids, how are they going to handle all the driving that you do? And that was a question mark for us. But one of the other RHMs that I talked to, he said his family goes with him about 50% of the time. And so far that's about what's worked out for us, but that just is going to depend on the season, right? And how far away a mission work is. So, you know, if I'm working way up here, I imagine that my wife will say, we're just going to go to Gettysburg rather than, you know, when I preached at State College 2 weeks ago, we had to get up and get all five kids out of the house by 6:30 in the morning with their church clothes on. So, you know, it's a challenge. Go ahead.
Do we have anything north of State College? I mean, I don't think that not seriously Presbytery, does it?
This is just
I understand border. That area is not as populated, but if there's any opportunities to go and put something up there.
I don't know. I would think that Lock Haven is a target area, you know. One area down here as well that I didn't mention that I'm interested in is Bedford, because there's really not much out down in this corner, and there's no Nate Park churches. So that's an association of our Reformed Presbyterian churches. There's no Nate Park churches this way. Hollidaysburg is the closest thing to Bedford. But, yeah, you know, I have not heard from anybody about that area, but I would definitely be interested in driving up there sometime and seeing what's up there. But I think Lock Haven, for sure, would be a target. Any other thoughts? All right, let me wrap it up. Thanks, Seth, for your time. I've got these maps here. Let's pray, and then I'll dismiss you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your church. Thank you that it starts with you opening particular people's eyes, opening our eyes to see your glory, to see the truth of our sin and the salvation that we find in Christ, giving us soft hearts. And Lord, we pray that your work in us would continue and that it would expand and that we would be, Lord, disruptive, contagious witnesses to the gospel around us. Lord, that we would reflect Christ and that people would say, there's something different about these people. Lord, and that you would be pleased to use this church as a light in darkness, that you would be pleased to use the OPC and our presbytery as a great light, a lamppost, a lampstand. Lord, we ask that you would be pleased to plant many churches, that it would be clear that the word does everything, that you go out with your word and spirit, that, Lord, we are just being faithful instruments in the Redeemer's hands. Lord, help us each to think about the ways in which you make us home missionaries in our own particular areas and opportunities. Lord, thank you for your grace, and we pray that we would ever meditate on your grace to us, that it would lead us out to serve you with gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.